Folks, this is Larry Herbeck's Box Lives, Major Nelson. This is show number 202, recording this Sunday, November 19th, 2006, which coincidentally is the day that the Wii has gone on sale. So did you wait in line for that? I went to a local Best Buy yesterday, Saturday, and there were a ton of people waiting outside for that. So good for them. Hopefully they got it. I did not wait in line for one. If I come across one this week, I'll probably pick one up. I just didn't have a lot of time to be waiting in lines this week, because it was all about lines this week, wasn't it? Lines and lines and more lines everywhere. So the two, a lot of big news this week. The two major consoles, as you know, launched, which was, of course, the Nintendo Wii, which I just mentioned, launched today. I wonder if I'll be able to pick one up today. I don't know. Maybe I'll go out after I record the show. And the other one, of course, is the PS3, which launched on Friday. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. A lot of information starting to trickle in here. But I want to talk about that later on in the show. I don't want to just totally deluge the entire show with that. Let's see what we've got today. So we've got today the shows, for the past 2 weeks I've been running these marathon shows. It takes a long time for me to edit them. It takes a long time for me to set up the interviews. So this show's kind of a little bit simpler. It's a little bit simpler. It's celebrating the birthday of the Xbox, the original Xbox, the Xbox Live, and of course the Xbox 360. So I looked around for some people, and I actually tried to get Jay Allard on, but Jay's really busy with all this Zune stuff the Zune launch this week. And or this past week, and so I got the next best person. I'll tell you who that is in just a minute. Hopefully you'll think it's the next best person. Let's go through the top level news of what's going on this week. You know what I can't seem to find, and maybe you guys can help me out. I cannot seem to find a good game release calendar that's accurate. And I obviously with the Xbox 360, I know more or less what's coming out. Even that's difficult to nail down. But I can't seem to find a good one for, all the platforms, so I can see what's coming out on the PS3 and the Wii. Does anybody have any good pointers to one of those? I found one over at, let me see, where did I get this one? Gamesarefun.com. They actually have the ability to import they're doing their own list over there, obviously, but they have the ability to import their list into various calendaring functions like Google Calendar or MSN Calendar or Outlook. So I've got them on my calendar here, but I don't know how accurate they are. So I'm looking for something that's fairly accurate. And again, I know the Xbox 360 ones, but it's really I'm looking for the rest of the platform. So if you have anything, send me an email so I can talk about what's being released this week, because that's that's something that I think is pretty interesting. But let's see what is being released this week as I try to mouse through all my calendar here. So, of course, on the Xbox 360, because that's all I've got fairly accurate data for, Rainbow Six Vegas. Cabela's African Safari. I played the other one. I should probably play this one. Superman Returns, the game, is supposed to be out this week, from what I hear. College Hoops 2K7 is coming out. I'm sure there's going to be a couple more this week that'll hit. We're getting into the situation where there's just too many games, right? We've got Gears. I'm at Act 5 in Gears. I think I'm near the end of it. It feels like the end. I've mentioned this before that Tycho from Penny Arcade and I are going through the co-op together. So he and I pretty much sit down every night and chip away a little bit at it. And so we're kind of going through that. Let's see. So we've got that. We've got I didn't even finish the Splinter Cell. I feel really bad because I've finished all the Splinter Cells up until this one. And that's not to say I won't finish it, but I just haven't had time. So Splinter Cell, I need to get that. Of course, Viva Pinata is the game that I don't think ends. Have you picked up Viva Pinata? Let me stop down and talk about that for a second. Viva Pinata is a game that I was tracking since we announced it last spring, And it is a it is very Animal Crossing like. You've got this whole sandbox and you bring things in and you start doing things. Obviously with the Xbox 360 it can be significantly more complex. So I've been playing that. I think I'm at a level 21 or 22 garden. I just got a garden expansion, so I need to go take a look at that. A lot of people on my friends list, see, what you can do when you're playing Viva Pinata is you can send other people on your friends lists, you can send them pretty much anything in your garden. So I have Gamer Andy on my friends list, and Gamer Andy sent me the Consumer Watchdog, and which is obviously a dog. And I'll put a link up to the blog on that over to I made a post on that this week. But some other people have been sending me, like somebody sent me an elephant. Master sent me an elephant. That's his gamer tag, Master. He sent me an elephant, which is just, it's actually pretty funny because the elephant apparently has perpetual gas. So you can just imagine pretty much what you're hearing the entire time. What else do I have? I have a gem tree. I have all sorts of crazy stuff that I've got into my garden that I'm trying to figure out. I've actually sold off a lot of things because, or not sold off, but pretty much sold them back to the store because I need to get to a simpler garden right now. Cause right now it was mayhem. Have you guys playing this? Have you gotten to the point where all of a sudden there's so much going on, you just really have no idea, and pinatas are being eaten and busted open and fighting and God knows what else. So Viva Pinata is another one that a lot of people are playing. You can check your friends list. A lot of people are playing either Gears of War or Viva Pinata. Speaking of Gears of War, I think this is actually worth mentioning. In fact, it is worth mentioning because that's why I'm talking about it. Each week, for those of you that don't know, I post the, over at my blog at MajorNelson.com, I post the activity for the week. And this is, we look at titles, you know, people that have Xbox Live, we pretty much can tell what they're playing because that's the way the Live universe works. When you connect to Live and it updates your, what we call the presence, and the presence is the term that we use, so I can see what you're playing. I know Major Nelson's playing Gears of War, that's called the presence when you see it on Xbox.com. Or elsewhere, obviously on the console. So I updated the Xbox Live activity for the week, and this was for the week of 11/13. And I pull three lists. I pull an Xbox 360 list, a top arcade titles list, and this is just full versions, and the original Xbox Live, original Xbox games. And for the first time in 2 years, Gears of War, we have a title that has beat Halo 2. So Gears of War has overtaken Halo 2 in terms of unique users, which is the measuring stick that we use for all of these lists. And that's pretty big. That's pretty big news. So the guys over at Bungie, I'm sure, are hard at work. And they made some announcements this week. I'm sure you saw their announcements where they've got new maps coming out. And they talked about a public beta and a few other things. But so you should check out Bungie.net if you're interested in some of that detail and some of those details. But this week, the Gears of War, which was really picking up steam over the past 10 to 14 days in terms of users. I mean, we've been selling a ton of copies. I don't have any visibility into how many copies we've sold, but I know we've sold a ton of copies. There was one point, many points actually this week, where I looked on my list and everyone was playing Gears of War except for, I think one person was playing Viva. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. The other thing, so Gears of War is the top Xbox Live title, and that includes the original Xbox and Xbox 360 titles. So you can kind of come over to my, if you go over to my, my blog and you can click on the, if you go down to the blog, blog cloud, the tags in the lower left hand corner, just click on top 10, you'll see it. It's pretty straightforward. So let's see, we talked about Gears of War, the top 10, Halo, got the Halo news, I'll link off to that for those of you looking for some more, jonesing to get into the Halo scene. And let's see what else I have over here. I was just totally thinking about something else. We talked about the top games. We know what you're playing. Yeah. Anyway. Let's see what else we got coming out here. Oh, I want to talk about Marketplace. Some of the Marketplace that came out this week. It was a pretty good week for Marketplace. For those of you, that are watching that stuff. Let's see. I've got an NCAA March Madness 07 demo. Of course, if it was Emergence Day in Europe, which we had the free pictures available for download, but obviously that's passed. The Rainbow Six Vegas multiplayer demo. That one's big. Now, a lot of these demos are, you need gold member level subscription to download the demos, and then a week later they will be available for silver members. So, we're showing our gold members a little bit of love there. There's a Cars demo that came out, and I actually played a little bit of the release version of Cars, and, I played it because on my way back from New England, was that where I was watching it? I guess it was. I was watching that. That was showing on the airplane. So I ended up watching it, and, you know, it was like all the other Pixar films. It was fun. It was cute. It was, you know, had some adult humor in there, and I really enjoyed that. But it was fun playing the game because you're kind of playing around in that universe, and it looks pretty darn good. So we've got a demo for Cars. So there's three demos already this week. What else do we have this week? There's a COD 3 trailer that went up. Arcade Defender. I was updating you guys with that. It was a little bit late coming in, but we got it out on Wednesday, at least Wednesday on the West Coast. Let's see what else we have. You know, some random videos have gone up, some Superman Returns content. Oh, it's a trailer. That's what it was. That's what it was. And then the Superman Return demo. Well, that was kind of cool, so you should take a look at that. All right, well, let's move forward, and this week is going to be an interesting week. I'm hearing rumblings, and actually they made the announcement already, and you guys know how I feel about those announcements. Capcom made the announcement that there will be a Lost Planet. I believe it's a multiplayer demo coming out very soon. So don't have the exact date, don't have the exact time, but Lost Planet multiplayer demo. So now would probably be a good time if you want to get that demo early is to get your hands on a gold subscription. Otherwise, you can just wait a week and you'll get it sooner or later. All right. So those are kind of the headlines from around the world. You know, the other headline is, well, you know what? I want to roll my interview now with Scott. And so I talked about that a little bit earlier. Scott Henson is a regular guest on this show. He hasn't been on in quite some time. I think the last time I had him on was E3, maybe even before that. But he's someone that's been around the Xbox landscape for many years, since it launched, since before it launched. So I thought it would be a good idea to get him in here and talk about the Xbox and basically the Xbox past, present, and future. So here's my interview with Scott Henson. Xbox is 5 years old last week. Xbox Live is 4 years old, and Xbox 360 is 1 year old next week. So I thought it appropriate I couldn't get Jay Allard.
Oh man! So you got a backup.
So right? I got Scott Henson. Now Scott, you've been on the show before. When did I have you on the show? Was it Leipzig?
Yeah, you had me on for Leipzig. I heard from a few of your constituents.
Right.
They gave me a little, you know.
That was a year and a half ago.
Yeah. I think you heard from them, too.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
People had a reaction to two SKUs.
Yeah, that was way back. That was back in 05. Back in the day.
Back in the day when two SKUs looked like, you know, new.
Yeah, but now it's everyone's doing it. And I wanted to get you in here because I couldn't get Jay. because
how many times is Major Nelson going to say that?
Because you've said, first of all, I got to tell you, your gamer tag is
Bear.
Bear. Okay, I'll post that. Yep. But I got you in here because
my friends list is full, Major. I'm gonna have to go clean that up.
You're gonna take me off, aren't you?
Yeah. There you go. Ba-ba-ba!
But I wanted to talk to you because you're one of the people that's been around here around Xbox before there was an Xbox.
Yep.
So tell me what that was like, and where you've been at Microsoft for a while. So I want to talk about that and how you got onto the Xbox team specifically.
So I've been at Microsoft for almost 13 years, and
so you're probably one of those guys who's got a big house. You got a big Mercedes out in the parking lot.
Dude, I'm just I'm just a guy I'm just a guy.
Okay,
there you go. At the end of the day, just you know, got a wife, got a couple of kids, just trying to get by.
I hear you.
And for the last 6 years, we've gone from. Can these guys make a game console that doesn't have Control-Alt-Delete?
Right.
I mean, they're just going to, you know, cram Windows on something and put it in, you know, they're going to put a keyboard mouse on there. They're going to get Internet Explorer, and they're going to shove it down people's throats.
And then they're going to have a blue screen.
Yeah, and then they're going to have a blue screen, right, exactly. And, you know, all they're going to do is just bring a bunch of PC titles to the console. And, I mean, and publishers and developers, you know, do they think they could sell a couple million of these things?
Right.
I mean, that's where we were when I joined the project, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we know Microsoft can do a lot of things, but we also are not sure if they're committed to this business. Are they really going to do more than one console? What if it doesn't work out?
So who was working on the console? I mean, was Jay working on it at that point?
Yep, Jay was working on it. I worked for a guy, Cam Ferroni, who was responsible for this little online project, which didn't have a name at the time. Now, we had lots of different name ideas for that, but at the time it was just called Xbox.
What were some of the names? Can you tell me?
Some of them were Nexus was a name, Prime. Xbox Online, Xbox Network,
yeah.
I mean, just, you know, just some fun names.
All the stuff you you'd pretty much figure.
Yeah, in fact, when we first did the review for Live, and of course, you know, Microsoft's gone a little crazy with Live.
Now everyone's like, Live everything.
Yeah, this is what happens when you're a little successful with something. So the first Live, you know, the big debate was, should we have Live with an exclamation point, or should it just, you know, be Live?
How many meetings was that?
You know, it was probably more than it needed to be. And hey, the exclamation, it lost. So, you know, it's still in our hearts, but, you know, not in our brand.
Right. So you've been around when they were, before the Xbox launched.
Yeah, so, before the first game shipped, I went through the whole cycle with our partners. At that time, I was working on Xbox Live.
Right.
And out talking to the publishers and developers. Some crazy ideas. I mean, you know, when we were talking to them then, first of all, they didn't know if we were going to be successful with the console.
Right.
And second, you know, this whole online thing, like, okay, yeah, we see how it works over here in the PC space, but gosh, you know, everything's kind of Wild West and free over here. And, you know, you've got this, you know, you've got Roger Wilco doing voice, and you've got, you know, the GameSpy's doing matchmaking, and, you know, all kinds of different people trying different things. But you guys were talking about integrating it, make it into, like, this cohesive thing.
Right.
Do you guys really think that, you know, that's going to be worth anything to anyone? I mean, do you think people will be willing to pay? Do you think people will want to be members of that service? We were talking about crazy ideas like identity is going to be really important. People are really going to get into their gamer tags, and, you know, people are going to want to add friends to their friends list and make really cool connections and share content with each other. And, you know, all these crazy ideas. Downloading content, demos, trailers. Like, we were talking about crazy stuff. Games on demand, the Live Arcade stuff, right?
Right.
We were talking about all that stuff back then, and people just look at us like, come on, dude. You got to be kidding.
So this was probably a point where broadband wasn't really, really big at that point. Is that my phone?
Yeah, well, that's quite a ringtone you got there. Yeah, it sounds like the Enterprise is.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. I don't know where that came from. So the let me just shut this phone off. So this was around the time when broadband was it just taken off at
that's
that
point? That's another one of those crazy bets we made, right? You know, broadband only. Are you kidding?
Right.
Right. How can you bet on broadband only? Right.
Right.
And we at the end of the day, it was, okay, what are we betting on here? We're betting on gamer scenarios and, like, you know, how are we going to make this really rock for gamers? We want every single game that you play in multiplayer for you to be able to talk to someone. And, you know, the conversations you'd have with people back then were just crazy. Well, are people going to want to do that?
Right.
How much CPU does that take up? How much overhead is that in my game? I mean, everyone text chats now. Do people really want to do that? And you're thinking, man, the last thing we want to do is, you know, bring over a keyboard and a mouse and have everyone basically just replicate everything that's on the PC.
Now, there's people right now who are listening who are going, no, I want a PC and a mouse on my Xbox or Xbox 360.
Well, and I think that's a great, that's what Windows is great at,
right?
I mean, if you love that experience, there's no better place to have it than Windows,
right?
I mean, hands down.
Right.
And we've looked at that every way. You can imagine, I mean, how we analyze stuff. We've looked at that up and down, left and right. And every time we look at it, in general, it doesn't resonate for console gamers.
Right. It's a little different.
There's a set of people that absolutely would love to do
those
that.
Are those the same people that want the browser?
Yes, they are. You know, and I've had that conversation for years, too. And it, as you know, we have lots of technology in browsing around the company. And in fact, gosh, we may even actually have something up and running.
Right.
But, you know, whether gamers want that or not, I think that it'd be interesting. Hey, what do you guys think? Is a web browser something we should do? Is that really what you want out of your gaming experience? Or is it? I mean, maybe it is.
So you're going to kick off that whole conversation. Because, ironically, this week is a huge week in gaming for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, it's our fifth anniversary.
It's our fifth anniversary. It's the fourth anniversary Live. Xbox 360 has its 1 year anniversary next year.
Next week. Yeah.
PS3 just launched.
Yep.
The Wii is launching.
Yep.
And so the PS3 has its browser.
Yep.
Have you played with that?
I have played with it.
What is that
bit.
Crazy little text box?
Well, I think
we're getting off the beaten path
a little bit too much. I also, you know, I plugged in a keyboard mouse, kind of expecting it to work like a keyboard mouse, and that was a little interesting too, right? You go click on stuff and no clicky. You know, you think, you know, I click the mouse button, maybe it would do what it normally does when you click. No, not so much.
No.
So I, you know, it's just a couple of those things surprised me, and I thought, man, am I going to browse the web with my controller? I don't think so.
Anyway, let's get back to the history of Xbox.
Yeah.
So you worked on the online service at the beginning. We can talk about PS3 later if you want.
Oh, we can talk about that, and then you can just edit it all out.
Okay. These guys want to hear that. Just so you guys know that are listening, you know, Scott, we actually have one in-house, and we've been looking at it.
Yeah, we've been playing with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually having some good times.
Some good discussion.
Some good discussion, that's right. you know, there's a lot of decisions that we made as gamers,
right,
about, okay, how do we make sure that the gamer experience rocks?
Right.
And, you know, when you make decisions about, okay, are you going to put a 12X DVD in versus an 8X versus a 5X or whatever?
Or 2X.
Or 2X, exactly, in the case of Blu-ray. You're basically saying, okay, we're going to bet on load times, right? So that's why we bet on a 12X, which is, how do we reduce load times? You're also, when we made that decision too, and we made the decision around the core and the Pro SKU, we're betting on, okay, we think this is going to be, you know, 5, 8, 10 year project where it's really relevant in the marketplace. Well, can we get this down to $150? Could we squint and see it getting down to $100?
Right.
If it's going to get down there, you know, what's the configuration going to have to look like so that really works? And it's still, you know, Gears of War, 6 years from now, still rocks no matter what the system is. And can you imagine the Gears of War experience on a $150 box? I mean, that's amazing thought, right?
Well, we're not announcing any prices here.
No, let's be clear. Right, but I'm just saying,
you and I are just talking.
Yeah, I'm just talking about, you know, when you make these decisions, you're not thinking, okay, what's the first holiday? What's the second holiday? You're thinking over the life of this program, and when we get to, you know, 20, 30, 50, 100 million people, which, you know, obviously is a huge ambition of ours, how do you do that? Well, price is a big part of that. The gamer experience is a big part of that. Online and the decisions that we made around that are a big part of that. And back to your history point, a lot of the decisions that you've seen in Xbox 360 now were all ideas that we had 6 years ago that we've been just maniacally working on over the last 6 years.
And trying to figure out and get into the product. Do you remember the first time that you went on Xbox Live, you know, before the beta,
when
it was internally? Really?
Oh, hands down.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you playing? Do you remember?
Revolt.
Now, the problem is you just opened up a wound because there's people out there that still want Revolt.
Oh, yeah. I want Revolt. That was a fun game. Yeah, in fact, my first friend experience was getting my friend on during the beta.
Right.
So I got him signed up for it. And for those out there that have played on Xbox Live, you'll totally appreciate this one. So I get him online, and I said, hey, dude, you got to be the Panga. I don't know if you remember the Panga car, but it was like the big, huge, steady car. You can't overturn the thing. It was as slow as molasses, man. So we're all in our little, you know, what were those? The Evil Toyecas.
Right?
And there's like six of us in the Evil Toyecas, and here's this big, huge
car. Revolt is a racing game, for those people that don't remember.
That's right. So think Hot Rod. So think Humvee versus Ferrari.
All right, here we go.
Right? So you got the Humvee, which is my buddy, against all the Ferraris. And so this is the first moment, and we're all heckling him, right? And like six people just busting on my buddy because he's got the Panga.
Right.
And to this day, he's like, I call him. I was like, hey, what's up, Panga?
Does he have a gamer tag?
He does, but
we won't give that out.
Yeah, I'll give you a hint.
Is it Panga?
It is a reference from the movie Fight Night.
Okay.
Which is one of our favorite movies. So
you know what? I was just thinking about this Revolt. You know what that should be?
What's that?
That's an Xbox Live Arcade.
That says Live Arcade all over.
We're gonna talk to Greg about that.
Hey, you know, man, we should. That's a really good idea. Yeah, let's go. All right, let's hear it from the crowd.
You guys want Revolt? Let us know.
Let us know.
So you went on. So you went on first time with Live with Revolt, and you know the service is coming online. And I've talked to E about that. E's been on the show many times because he's been around a long time. So then what? You know, you guys launched it, and what was that like?
Well, the whole launch was amazing. I mean, that the 4 months prior to the launch, my whole life was on the road, out talking to press and consumers and publishers and developers.
So that's what you do right now, is you talk to the developers. So you're the guy who's talking about the developers about how to make online cool.
Yeah, you talk to him about a lot of stuff.
Right.
Talk to him about
pixel shaders.
talk to him about how to get the most out of our box and creating things like pixel shaders and such. And just how to get the most out of Microsoft platforms in general so that, you know, games rock on Windows and games rock on Xbox 360. So that's a key part of what I do. And then another key part of what I do is, you know, out talking to the press about, you know, our platform strategy and where we're headed. And same with the publishers as well.
Right.
So, and that's the first job when I first came on, was getting people excited about our platform strategy with Xbox Live. So what was that like? Well, it was unlike anything that I'd ever been through. It was just a roller coaster because there was so much healthy skepticism in the marketplace about, could this crazy, you know, online idea actually matter on a console? And we fundamentally in our core believed that it would change gaming forever. You know, and when you're out there just, you know, waving that out there, so this is going to change gaming forever, and everyone else is like, I don't know if, you know, we'll see. Got a few hurdles. So, you know, I have press articles even up on my cork board today that are from back then that are like, yeah, this whole bet's risky. We don't know about voice. We don't know about broadband.
Right.
And, you know, you can see a lot of those things turned out pretty well. And then we got into the launch day. I remember the launch day so vividly for Xbox Live.
Okay.
Like, just crystal clear. I was down in L.A. for the launch event, and just hundreds of people, so much excitement. Freddie Prinze Jr. was down there. Samuel L. Jackson was down there. And it was just cool to see them in that kind of environment, just as, you know, just people having fun. And they were connecting with the team back up here. And it was just like this big, huge virtual couch, right, that we used to talk about all the time back then. Everyone was connected and having a great time and laughing. And just, it was awesome. And but we didn't know. We were like, you know, maybe we could get 100,000 people.
Right.
Maybe a couple hundred thousand. In the first year, that's what we're talking about. You know, tens of thousands by the end of holiday.
Right.
You know, we shot through 300,000 in that first holiday, and we're like, hang on.
Whoa, hang on. Order more servers.
And then, you know, we went from 13 games that holiday to 50 the next holiday to 100 to 200. I mean, and now, you know, every game on Xbox 360 supports Live. So it's just one of those classic, we went from just, you know, will this work to will we get people to... Oh my gosh, 4 years later, 4 million people, you know, hundreds of games, amazing amounts of
content. Well, not only 4 years later, but also another platform later.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about what's happened with us in the last 5 years and what we've been through, you know, how many countries, 25 countries with Live, 37 countries with Xbox 360, you know, two worldwide console launches, the second of which was simultaneous, you know, within a matter of weeks.
Launching consoles is hard, as our competitors will agree.
Absolutely. And, you know, with all deference, it's a big thing to bite off.
Yeah.
So we know what those guys are going through. And I can tell you, we're happy to be where we are now, where we're in second holiday, full steam ahead, go, go, go.
With some amazing titles.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, have you played Gears of War lately? So
did I tell you about my Viva experience? You're playing Viva.
No, I'm playing Viva, yeah, and I'm playing Gears of War.
So, Viva, I should probably do this. Some people have been sending me crates.
Yeah, I got one last night.
Did you? From, what is it?
Well, it's that really cool dragon,
Really?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I have two little girls. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Right.
And we've played Viva quite a bit, but we haven't played it long enough to be, like, you know, level whatever gardener.
Right.
And I saw some stuff, one of the guys I work with, I saw some stuff in his garden. I'm like, dude, that rocks. Hey, can you find one of those little Vivas that, you know, you don't mind getting rid of?
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I can get these guys for free. And this thing was sweet.
Right.
And yeah, he sent it over. So
I got yesterday, Gamer Andy, we you know the Gamer Andy site. He sent me a dog named Consumer Watchdog.
Oh, nice!
And then I put a photo on the blog on that one. And then somebody sent me
What's Consumer Watchdog looking after right now?
That's a good question. That's a good question. But then I also got an elephant, which is pretty wild. But anyway, so that's So we've just got some, and of course Gears. We talked about Gears.
Yeah.
But I want to go.
Okay, wait. I have to tell you just one little quick Gears story.
All right.
Right, because this is like to what it's like for Live and some of the amazing progress that we've made since launch. So one of the scenarios that we used to talk about. 6 years ago is, wouldn't it be cool if you could blur the lines between offline and online?
Right.
Right? And people would look at us like, what are you talking about, blur the line? Well, there's a lot of online experiences that you could have from your offline games, right? In co-op, we talk about this all the time. Why can't I just play through a game with my buddies?
Right.
Right? I mean, that phrase, I don't even know how many times I've had that phrase. And so the other night, this is just the coolest experience. I'm playing Gears of War, and I'm on the fourth act, and one of my buddies comes on. He's actually a guy in the XNA team, and his name's Joe Nalewabell. He pops up online, and I see he's actually making a game on a retail console. So that's the first, like...
What are you making a game?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well,
You're talking Gears. Who is this guy again?
So I'm playing Gears.
Right.
I'm playing Gears.
Right.
And Joe Nalewabell's on the XNA team, and these guys are making progress towards, you know, all the stuff that they're going to deliver in December.
Right.
They've now got the XNA tools up and running on retail kits and making games. So the stuff that we've been talking about with XNA Game Studio...
Sharing it.
Exactly. And actually being able to build games on retail consoles is up and running. And I see my friend in the XNA team doing this. And I'm like... That's really, because it says XNA Creators Club.
Dude.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. So I have my wireless headset.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I hit pause on the game and I record a quick message. I was like, hey, Joe, that rocks. That's awesome. Congratulations to you and the XNA team for getting this thing up and running. That's really, I mean, that's awesome. And so he sends back, and then I go back and play Gears of War.
Right.
And I'm playing through the single player campaign. He sends back a chat invite. So we sit there and talk for a little while I'm playing Gears of War, and he's over making games in XNA.
Right.
Like, so first of all, think about that, right? Think about that 6 years ago. That was a fantasy.
Right.
The idea of, you know, chatting with
just
someone.
Just chatting two different titles.
Yeah, in two different titles. And we'll think about what he's doing.
Right.
Right. Think about that for just a second. Okay, so that's pretty cool. And I said, you know, Joe, did you pick up your copy of Gears of War? And he said, you know what? I did. Hang on. So I can hear him, and I'm still playing the game, right? I can hear him fumbling for the disc in the background.
Right.
So here I am, still talking to him. He's fumbling for the disc. Remember how it was with the original Xbox for chat?
Yeah.
You had to get in the game. You had to be in the lobby. You had to be in just the right place. Right. At the right time.
Right.
You know, none of
all the stars had to line up.
Yeah, exactly. And oh yeah, if you went from one game to the next, the voice would cut off and then it would cut. Now it's just seamless and it just goes right in. So he puts in the Gears of War game, I'm playing, and all of a sudden Dom, boop, is Joe.
Right.
And then
just slid right into your game.
Just slid right in. I didn't have to tear down the session, rebuild the co-op session. All of a sudden, just slides right in, and Joe and I play through the rest of that level. We get to this section in the level.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Where he, this is classic Gears of War, where you have to choose left or right in the game. Well, I choose to go right. Well, he goes left.
Right.
And so he has a completely different experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, than I do. And so he's telling me, like, over here, here's what's going on.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, I can't talk right now. I'm getting killed.
Yeah.
And then we meet up back in the middle and just keep going. It was. And then he's like, dude, I got to get back to work. I got to finish this game. He goes back into his game, and I keep playing Gears of War.
And you could have kept chatting with him.
Of course. Yeah, but, you know, at that point. I did actually chat for him for a while, even after he left the game. And then he went back over to the XNA and shut that down and then, you know, went off to do it.
Do you want to tell us about his game? Can you tell us about it?
I won't tell you about his game. There's some pretty cool stuff. I think you've seen some of this.
Yeah, I put the video up.
The XNA Racer?
Yeah, we're linked over to letskilldave.com.
Yep.
Dave had a bunch of stuff up there. Think about where we've come in 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that anyone could make a game, that the experience I just talked about with live, the games on demand stuff, downloads,
the co-op
experience I just talked about. I mean, it is phenomenal. The dreams and aspirations we had 6 years ago, how many of those things we've actually been able to bring to fruition with the Xbox platform.
When the original Xbox was kicking around, the big box, which now in hindsight doesn't really look that large based on the recent hardware that shipped.
Apparently a big black box isn't a bad idea.
what were some of the challenges? You talked about the online, but, you know, what was it like at the point where you had the original Xbox, you were working with developers, and then you rolled out the specs on the Xbox 360?
Yeah, so, you know,
that's like going from a Model A to a Ferrari, to the usual.
Yeah, certainly with the multi-core architecture and threading and all of that. And then, you know, we went from a fixed function program, whatever. We changed the
paradigm. Tell it, a fixed function what?
Yeah, we went from a fixed function pipeline to a programmable pipeline and programmable shaders. And there was a lot of things that weren't exciting, but new and challenging. You know, it was exciting for lots of different reasons because we could do really cool things like, hey, we could take up a small set of the system resources. We could have this thing called the guide, and it'll always be there. Right, and you'll be able to get access to your friends, and the scenario I just talked about with Joe
is entirely possible because
entirely possible because, and those were the kind of things that were going through our head. Well, we could take off a little slice of these cores, and we'll give the rest to the developers, and they can absolutely count on the rest. And there's some really cool things that come out of that. And so, but you know, when you first take those kinds of ideas, where you're like, you know, we're going to take a little bit of the system. And we're going to take a little bit of the memory. You know, the first reaction is like, well, wait a minute. What's that really going to mean to my game?
Right.
Because
the gamers want to program. They want every, or developers want every ounce of hardware to program against.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we first went out and talked to them, you know, the idea of multi-core architecture and you know, that was completely new.
I still don't know what that is, but go ahead.
Come on. We've talked about that enough. You get the idea.
Yes.
It's just three little gerbils running around in a mill.
We don't like to name our processor, though, do we?
No, we don't. Especially given it, well, whatever. We'll leave that alone. But I will say this about our processor. One of the bets we made then was on just general purpose processing power and the accessibility of that to programmers. Every bet we made was making the life better for gamers and game developers. I mean, every last thing that came down to those two things.
Right.
Is this going to be easy for people to harness the power of, whether it was the ATI part or what we did with IBM, the bandwidth choices we made, the DVD choices that we made, every last one of those things was really driven about, our game's going to be better as a result. Our gamer's going to be delighted as a result.
Right.
I think, and you know, a lot of factors go into that. But it all boils down to kind of three things for me: cost, content, and complexity. Right? Is the cost reasonable? Are you going to get great content? And is the complexity to actually get at that? If you get that, you know, really, really reasonable, and we lower the barriers. If you get that mix like perfect, where you're the value that you bring is dead on. I mean, I think you can set the world on fire. I think that's what we've done with Xbox 360. That was one of the things that we learned with the original Xbox too. Is the bet on power was a good bet. But it wasn't the only bet, and it wasn't extensive enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the graphical capabilities of Xbox versus other consoles at the time certainly won hands down, but it wasn't the only consideration that people have. And certainly you can see, you know, with some of the success that Nintendo's had with the Wii, I mean, fun, at the end of the day, it's all about fun.
Right.
I mean, that's all any of us ever care about.
Right.
You know, and fun can get, you know, manifest in, like, can I connect with you and play easily like I did with my Joe scenario? You know, do I have some really fun ways to interact with the system, whether it's a wheel or whatever it is? You know, those kinds of things, at the end of the day, the immersiveness, the graphics and the audio, all it comes down to is it fun?
You know what I'd love to do is, and you know what I'm going to talk about this, and you'll know what it is. Do you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, where there was the flash demo of how the guide worked?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Absolutely.
I got to see if I can find that, and I would love to post that.
Well, the very first one we did, too, right?
Where?
Well, the very first one you probably wouldn't want to post, because it had all kinds of wacky ideas in it.
You
know,
sure.
Just to try to get people to start thinking in a direction. But that first one that we took out when we went and told developers and publishers, hey, here's what we're, you know, planning on doing. Here's what the system's going to do. Here's how it'll interact with your games. Here's how we can, you know, kind of...
What was the response?
Well... The overwhelming response, the good news, having done the original Xbox, and, you know, we had so many meetings with developers then where we'd say, hey, do you want us to do this work, or do you guys want to do the work? And they were like, we want to do the work because we want it to look like our game. And so we're like, okay, meaning like the friends list and players and feedback and all that stuff, right?
Right.
If you think about all the screens and screens and screens that make up the Xbox Live experience, right? And it's like, okay, cool. Well, we'll invest in some technology to make that simpler. You guys go ahead and integrate it in your game and make it look like your game. Well, after you go through that experience, you realize there's a lot of work there, right?
Right.
And so after you do that for a while, then what happens is then people say, hey, help. And you go back and you show them what we did with Xbox 360, and you say, you guys don't have to worry about that anymore. It's going to be the exact same in every game.
Right.
In fact, it's going to be the exact same in every experience. And it's, hallelujah, you know, thank you.
They can
thank
go back
you,
to focusing on the game.
Yeah, well, even more so than they were before, right?
Right.
I mean, we'd already taken a lot of burden off their backs from, you know, the infrastructure points and matchmaking and all that kind of stuff. This just took that much more, and it eliminated a tremendous number of the requirements that we have to pass before you actually ship a game, what we call TCRs.
Right.
So, there was a collective rejoicing and dancing in the streets.
So it's been a wild ride. You know, here we sit on the morning, and I'm going to use the morning figuratively.
Yeah.
The morning, the dawn of a new era in terms of now that we've been out for a year.
Yep.
And the PS3 and the Wii have come out. What do you think of those two? You know, we talked around them a little bit earlier, but what do you think of those two platforms?
Well, so one of the things...
Because you're the platform guy.
Yeah, and I want to be, you know, totally fair and balanced about this, as much as you can be. I mean, I don't know how anyone from Microsoft could say, well, we're the best. And
right.
People, well, of course you're going to say that you're the best. But so here's a couple of, like, just objective observations. The first objective observation is online, not a nice to have, necessary to have. Next generation... Everyone's got online in some way, shape, or form. And I 100% believe that's because of the influence of the work that we've done with Live.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel really proud of that. I also feel a little humbled by it. I feel a little flattered by it. It's hard not to. Because, you know, 6 years ago, we were in a situation where people were like, yeah, are these guys going to even be relevant? 6 years later, you know, we're in a situation where we're actually leading. Right, and we're changing things. I mean, that's really exciting to me.
Right.
So that's the first thing. The second is that there's still some philosophical differences that are clear between the different companies. Right. I mean, I think we bet on balance And I think Sony bet like on power and high-end power, and they certainly have made a bet on Blu-ray.
Right.
I mean, they made a big bet on a format here,
right.
And we weren't about to do that,
right.
Because we had no idea what the impact would be on the game experience, right? And people will go make their own conclusions about that. And I've spent all day playing around with the PlayStation 3 today, and there's consequences to that decision.
Right.
There's consequences in load times. There's consequences to the experience. It's just a fact when there's a new format, new technology that comes in, it's just complex.
Right.
And there's everything's a set of trade-offs. And that's what I was saying when we made trade-offs. It was to the benefit of the game developer and to the benefit of the gamer.
Right.
So then the thing I'll say about the Wii is that their focus on fun and making that the kind of central design point of their system, I think that's awesome. I think it's great. I had a lot of fun at E3 playing around with the Wiimote.
That's right. I remember you. That's the last time I had you on. We did that interview there. That's
yeah,
right.
Yep. And that's right. And so my brother and I actually waited in line. And we went and played it for a couple hours. Had a great time with the Wii Sports titles. And then had a mixed time with the third-party titles and had a mixed time with Metroid. Now, Metroid's one of my favorite Nintendo games of all time.
Right.
Since I was a kid, growing up on Nintendo. And at the end of that experience, I thought, you know what? This is going to be a lot like the experience I've had with the touchpad on the DS, and I'm also a huge DS fan.
Right, as am I.
Yep, exactly. Love my DS. But it's been a hit-and-miss proposition in terms of that touchscreen and how well it's been utilized.
Yeah, how the games are using
it. So WarioWare, money, right?
Right.
I mean, just a great money experience. But
money equals good.
Money equals good, that's right. That's Scott speak.
Sorry.
So in any case, it was a great experience. And then some were, like, and I won't pick on any games, but some just didn't, really fulfill the promise. And I think it's the same feeling that I had with the Wii as well, which is I think there's going to be a set of games where that works really well, and then there's going to be a set of games where it'll be interesting to see how long you can actually play it. Because after a couple hours, I got kind of tired.
Yeah.
And with the controller, maybe it's just me.
Right.
I also found a lot of games harder to play.
Right.
Than with a controller. So it'll be interesting to see what the long term reaction is.
Yeah. When I was using it, I used it last. I think I mentioned this on my show last week. I was over at Penny Arcade. They had just gotten their unit in. And I was playing with Gabe and Tycho. Gabe, who
those guys love Nintendo.
Gabe, who does the comic, and Tycho, who writes the words, because apparently they accused
me. Get that backwards.
Well, I was talking too quickly last week, and they say I screwed it up, but that's beside the point. When I was playing with the Wii, I was having trouble with the bowling ball. It kept hooking, it kept going off to the left, and it was difficult to control, and I didn't know what to do to help to straighten it out.
Right. So I think there'll be a little bit of that, and people getting used to it. But I commend what they're trying to do. We certainly believe bringing more gamers into the fold is something the whole industry needs to do, and that we all need to focus on, and that's not just going to be about graphics. That's going to be the kind of games, the way you interact with games, how you get games, the price point of games, right? A lot of the conversation we had around Live Arcade was, gosh, a whole host of $5, $10, and $15 games, well, that's got to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be good for the overall ecosystem and bringing people in. Now we just need to, get the word out there, and we need to develop a lot more new and original titles as well as the, retro titles that we have on the service, too. So
the, you're telling me.
Yeah. But there's some good stuff coming.
Yeah.
And I'm sure.
I talked to Greg a couple weeks ago about that.
Yeah.
So I want to get back to what you talked about a little earlier. XNA.
Yeah, you bet.
People are chomping at the bit. They want to upload their games and do all that stuff.
Yep.
And how's that going?
Well, I think I already kind of hit a little bit of what's going. I mean, I gave a little bit of inside baseball on the fact that it's up and running against retail now. Now, that's an internal beta.
Right.
Don't
send me email. Don't send Bear any messages.
That's right. In fact, just so you guys know, I mean, you'll be able to play around with it in December. So, gosh, I don't know if you looked, but Thanksgiving's right around the corner.
And so do the math.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be much longer before people are going to be able to play around with it. So the first step, the Creators Club that we've talked about for the last several weeks, is imminent.
Right.
And, that's the first step of a long journey that we're going to have with that. And that's when you give it to the creators of the world, and you see what great things they do and see how they unleash their creativity. Now, in that world, most of the trading and all that kind of stuff is going to happen through Windows.
Right.
Right. And it'll happen through various communities that have already sprung up.
Right.
I mean, tons of stuff. I mean, you just go out there and do a search on, XNA Game Studio, and you're going to see a crazy amount of stuff. Or go to, letskilldave.com.
Yeah.
And he's got all kinds of links up there.
Right.
So So it's coming along really well. The thing that I get really excited about in that is that there's, we know, I mean, and having been, you know, on this project as long as I have, we know there's so many great ideas out there that don't get fully realized, and people don't even get to give it a full chance. You know, when we announced XNA, the initiative in 2004, it was all about, you know, how do we get to that point where more ideas come into the industry? How do we get new, you know, fresh, innovative ideas? And, you know, people would, just like live, people would kind of misconstrue what you were talking about, and they'd say things
right.
like, hey, it's just going to be a bunch of crummy games.
Right.
You know, is it just going to be the low end of the spectrum?
Bad stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it's going to actually be a full spectrum of things. And you have screenshots of the XNA Racer. You can see it's actually a full spectrum of things. You're going to get little bite-sized things. You're going to get more, you know, full meal deals, if you will.
Those guys, it's amazing. As I come over here, you guys, so just to let everyone know, your offices are on the second floor of our dining establishment.
That's right. So we get the fabulous smells from...
No, so I wander over here once in a while. I'll just kind of wander up here after lunch and see what's going on up here.
Yeah, what's happening in the heartbeat. Yeah.
And you guys always, like, they're working on those XNA, that XNA driving game down the hallway. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't wow, like, oh, this is great graphics, or wow, this is cool gameplay.
But wow, I didn't know you could do that kind of
game. Wow, I didn't know. Look how quickly they put it together.
Yeah.
That's the wow.
I know.
And
you think, gosh, maybe if they had more than a month, what could they do then?
Yeah, and then I look at it, the other one, and go, wow, what can the community do with this? Because you've seen what the community does when we give them tools and
absolutely.
Whatnot.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're serving up, I think at last check, 1.5 to 2 million gamer cards a day across the internet.
Yep.
Not even on Xbox.com and the forums. This is just across the internet.
Yep.
It's phenomenal, you know.
Totally. And this all goes back to our belief in the community and the power of the community and putting, you know, giving the power directly over to them.
Right.
Again, why did we name this thing 360? Right, it was about putting people in the center and empowering them.
Right,
and that's like a central tenet that we have across the entire project.
Right,
and XNA you're a great example of that. Gosh, 6 years ago there was no Major Nelson.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I remember having the conversation with Ben Kilgore.
Ben, who's my manager.
Yeah, and Ben and I talked about, you know, we need to treat Live more like a community.
Right.
Like, I remember the first conversation. Yeah, we need someone who really, like, all they think about is the community.
Right.
And man,
here I am.
Hey, props to Major Nelson. I don't think anyone's done a better job with community management.
Well, it's easy because, like I say, because we've got the tools. We've got Live is the foundation, and then when we shipped Xbox 360, I had somewhat influence over the design in terms of the community features, the gamer card, and all that stuff. So it's just it was the ability of taking all these great tools and just energizing the community.
Absolutely.
I mean, you and I see that whenever we go, when we travel the world. It's phenomenal. It's
it
a
is.
Global community.
It is. Yeah, and what's really cool about that too, and the, you know, the bets that we made, like, I was talking about identity and the whole idea of a gamer tag, you know. People just kind of like, well, do people really think that's going to be a big deal? Well, I could tell you 4 years later, Bear's a really big deal to me. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, Bear. Yeah.
I got to check it. What's Bear's gamer score?
It's right around 5K
Which is pretty much where everyone in the gaming industry sits, because we're all playing games and other on dev kits and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly give that caveat. I probably work a little too much at the end of the day. I mean, I love games. Love games. But, you know, when you work a lot and you've got a couple of kids and, you know, it's just not like it was 15 years ago. And I play a lot of games.
Do you play any PC games?
Yeah.
What are you playing on PC?
Well, mostly lately I've been playing the casual games.
That's codes for, like, Bejeweled.
Yeah, right. Well, actually more with the kids.
Oh.
So I play a lot of the games with the kids. I'll go ahead and confess. The latest game I played, which was two nights ago, was with the kids, and it was Dora the Explorer.
Okay.
And we played that on the PC. We had a great time.
They're all saying, Major, make him go faster.
Make him go faster. Oh, my God.
The other thing that you're kind of working on is, I don't even know what the hell it's called. Oh, Live Anywhere. Because I was going to call it its internal code name.
Don't do that.
Yeah, Live Anywhere.
Yeah, no. Major, you're not allowed to do that.
So you're working on Live Anywhere.
Yeah, I have been for a while. Yep.
And that's to tell people where we are. Give me a Live Anywhere checkpoint.
Well, so since E3,
right.
When Bill and I kind of showed the
world. Yeah, you were the one up on stage with Bill Gates.
Yep, I was, and that was
fun. Well, you must have been sweating bullets because, you know, if you're probably up there thinking, because Bill has had his fair share of demos kind of go belly up in the past.
Yeah, he has, yep. So I may or may not have witnessed a couple of those go belly up in the past. Yeah, I actually have. I've done a couple of talks with him over the 13 years. That I've been here. And yeah, it can be a little nerve-wracking. Actually, believe it or not, this one was just fun.
Right.
I mean, just 100. There was not a moment where I was like, oh my God. It was all like, I want to go tell people what we're up to.
Right.
And that's how it felt. And I think, you know, when we got to show it.
And you were doing the demo for... What were you doing the demo for? I don't even remember.
You're talking about at E3?
Yeah, at E3.
When we actually showed the demo of Live Anywhere and how
right,
it worked.
Right, because that was the cell phone. That's right, because you had Major Nelson.
Yeah, remember
Nelson.
Major Nelson?
That's
and
right,
he was working.
That's right,
well,
that's
guess who concocted
yeah,
that?
That's right, that's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's right.
So
you worked on that. But tell us where it is now. People are asking, when can we expect this? What's going on with
it? Well, and I think people know what I'm about to say, which is Halo 2, Vista, and Shadowrun will be the first two games that support this.
Right.
And they'll be in early 2007. And so shortly after the commercial availability of Vista. The idea behind that is really simple. It's about taking this community, this global, incredible live community, and bringing it to other devices, bringing it to mobile devices, and bringing it to Windows. And then unleashing the scenarios that come out of that.
Right.
There's some scenarios that make each of those platforms just better. Right. So like just the fact that there's going to be gamer score and achievements and one gamer score and one set of achievements across all platforms for Bear or for Major Nelson.
Right.
That's a pretty powerful notion. So if I'm playing, you know, Company of Heroes, which is an incredibly popular title on Windows right now, and it has achievements and gamer score, well, that's all just going to roll in and be a part of my.
So does that assume that, is it safe to say, or is this not right, that if a game is released on PC, Company of Heroes, that it's going to be released on Xbox 360?
It
may not be.
No, and in fact, that's one of the things that I think is really important for people to understand, is, and that's not even our intent.
Right.
Our intent is really to take a lot of these valuable ideas that people have gotten really excited about. I mean, just take achievements and gamer score. I mean, I know everyone that's listening to this is going,
right.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, the heads are
it
nodding.
It changes the way you play.
Right.
It changes how deep. It changes how you think about what you're going to discover in the game.
And you know when that little thing makes this sound. I just put the sound in. That's why I did
it. Yeah, okay.
So it makes this sound.
I just waited for the sound.
And the achievement unlocks. You hit the guide button. You want to know, what did you do?
Yeah.
You're totally. Like, well, what did I just unlock?
Yeah, exactly. And then you want to go find out, what are the other things that I can unlock?
Right.
Right? It just makes you think more about the game than you ever did. That will be a big win. Having a consistent way to get in games, a consistent buddies list across all games, not only doing cross-game invites, which still seems to be an elusive concept, except for the Xbox platform.
Right.
Doing a cross-game invite, which is really cool, like what I was talking about with Joe earlier, but a cross-platform game invite.
Right.
Or just the ability to connect with your friends, just sending and receiving messages.
Right.
But it's not about, you know, I know Shadowrun's going to do cross-platform play, and I think that's awesome. But that's not the extent of it.
Right.
You know, what about the scenarios where, you know, in your RPG, where I get to play Dungeon Master on the PC, and I set up the scenario, and all the guys that are playing through are off on their console. So I get to play host on the PC, and all the guys playing, you know, your warrior and mage comes through, and all that stuff is done on a completely different platform. Well, why can't I browse content in the marketplace on my PC or on my cell phone when I'm away and kick off a download and make it available when I get back?
Right? Especially with all the video stuff that's coming online this
week.
Oh
my gosh, and there's so many cool things. We've got 2,000 pieces of content today. We've got another 1,000 hours by the time, you know, we launch our video solution next week, and then through the end of the year. Think about how much we're going to add in the next year,
yeah.
In 2 years or 3 years. I mean, there's so many cool
things. Well, you know, because you know where the product's going.
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be a tremendous amount of things that you're going to want to do. So, you know, Live Anywhere isn't just about playing cross-platform games and, you know, keyboard and mouse versus a controller, which I know people talk
that's
about.
That's kind of that's really a simplistic way of looking at
right.
it.
Right, and I think there's people out there that are talking about it that way, but that's just one little bitty scenario in a whole host of scenarios that come out of this. You know, that's part of why we put together the scenario around Forza, which, you know, we were just dreaming the dream.
So hey, this is the demo you did at
E3. Right. The demo that I did at E3 was, hey, you know, what are the unique things that we could do for a game?
Right.
Well, wouldn't it be cool if you had a livery editor on your PC where you could use your keyboard and mouse to actually trick out the way your car works? And that's the car that you race no matter what platform you're playing on. Yeah, that would be really
that's
cool.
That's cool.
I mean, and PCs have all kinds of great editors. Right, there's going to be all kinds of you know, those kinds of scenarios that we enable as a result of this, And command and control scenarios, like what I talked about being the DM and right. having other people play through your dungeon.
DM.
Yeah, you're the
dungeon.
Now you know I am a true and utter, completely hopeless geek.
Yeah, and how? I'm the DM.
I'm the DM.
So that we kind of talked about Xbox past, Xbox present, and a little bit of Xbox future.
A little bit.
It's. What else you got to share for me before I let you go?
So a couple of things. One is there's some pretty exciting stuff coming up. One of the things I want to encourage people to check out is we're going to post the Lost Planet multiplayer demo. I had a chance to play it this week.
You did?
Yeah.
And?
Oh, my God.
So the single player was out at E3.
Yeah.
Which is the one for those.
When
of you,
I thought the single player demo was a really solid demo.
It was money.
Yeah. I do not understand these terms that you're
talking about. But yeah, so single player was out at E3, and that was the one in the snow, which was great. And, you know,
yeah.
Kind of the mech thing. So tell me a little about the multiplayer, because that's coming out this week.
I'm not going to give a whole lot away,
okay.
Because, I mean, that's kind of the joy of
right.
getting to discover yourself. What these guys have done, the Capcom team has done, is it's clear that they've studied what really works on the service.
Really?
And I know that team has played a lot of Halo. I know that like, you know, for a period of time, every night they were playing Halo.
So the next question is, does it have a party system? That's what everyone's dying
right
now.
Well, and I'll let Capcom, you know, tell the community when they're ready about, you know, what systems they have, that kind of stuff. But what you're going to get is a taste of some levels, and you'll get a really good idea of the mechanics that are in this. Lots of really cool vehicles, some cool new gameplay mechanics that you haven't seen before. Right. If you thought you understood how grenades worked before, there was a brand new grenade mechanic. That's
you need
in this
to learn.
Game.
You need to relearn grenades.
Yeah, and this one, people are going to go, "Whoa, that is cool." There's a way that you discover things in the snow. That's also really cool. There's all these really cool game modes.
Isn't the snow? Somebody was it you told me the snow was volumetric?
Yeah, you actually. There's a little. I'm just going to leave it alone. There's some fun stuff you can discover in the snow. There's actually what you want to do, too, when you're playing these multiplayer levels, search around.
Can I write my name in the snow?
I'm not sure about that, Major. You might want to do that and take a picture of it. I can just, yeah, don't. If you do that, don't eat that snow. You can blow it up with your mech.
Anyway,
so check out the environments. Like, check out the water, check out behind things, check out the snow, and you're going to find some pretty cool stuff.
So that launches January.
Yeah, I don't know the. I mean, I know it's within the next few
weeks. I think it was in January.
Yeah.
Is when the full game is out.
Right. But the multiplayer demo should be out by Thanksgiving.
Right.
So by the time people listen to this, it's going to be just a few days away. And I think this is going to be. You know, I remember when Dead Rising came out. Inafune-san was the producer
sure.
for that as well.
Right.
And
I've had him
producer,
on the show.
Yep. And he's the producer for this title too. I think people. This is going to be one of those titles where people go, "Oh my gosh, where did this come from?" Just like they did.
Is this available on all platforms?
Well, they. I could tell you this. It'll be the only platform, next generation platform that it launches on.
That's big.
So now, what their long term plans are, whatever.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? But this will be the only place that you could play. And I think people play. You know, people are having a great time in Gears of War. I'm having an awesome time in Gears of War.
Oh, you haven't played co-op. I'm a little pissed at you for that. You have never invited me in.
Well, but as you know, Major Nelson, as everyone I'm sure that's played Gears of War knows, anyone on your friends list that's playing through the single player, you can just drop right in and start playing with them. You don't even need an invite. You could just join them right in progress.
I think you're playing a different game, or you got me blocked or something, because I'm not seeing that.
Actually, to be honest, I did have you blocked for a little while. And the reason I had you blocked is because I was playing Gears of War before it launched. And
I knew that.
And I turned my presence off, and so you didn't know when I was on.
That's fine. Do you see what I'm dealing with here?
You see what I'm dealing with?
Yeah.
You see the personnel.
After we sit here for 45 minutes, and okay. I see.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's what you get for the backup to Jay.
Touche. Well, with that, so we talked about Xbox past, present, future. I'm going to let you go because you got to go.
Okay, Major.
Can we go take a look at the PS3?
Yeah, absolutely. Only if you promise me one thing.
Yeah.
The next time you talk to the Penny Arcade guys,
yeah.
Make sure they draw you a little more angry.
Thank you, Scott Henson. Scott Henson, Gamertag Bear, who is in charge of... God only knows what he's in charge of. He's been around the Xbox for a long time. He's, he kind of gave us a glimpse into the past, present, and the future of the Xbox platform, because that's the way we look at it. We're very platform-centric, so... Thank you for coming on the show, Scott. I appreciate it. It's always good to have you on the show. What do you guys think? Do you want me to get Scott on again? Send him a friend's request. Send him a message, Bear. That's his gamer tag. Okay, let's see. I have a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about here. We'll save that for later. We're closing in on an hour, which means I got to get Name the Game out of the way. So Name the Game is the weekly contest. You know how to play it, don't you? If you don't, I'll explain it after this. Here's last week's Name the Game. Was it the bird that gave it away, or was it the boom, boom, boom? Anyway, if you guessed Totem Ball, you were correct. That was the Xbox Live Arcade title Totem Ball, which is available as a free download if you bought an Xbox Live Vision camera. Pretty straightforward. All right, let's take all the correct answers right over here, put them into a hat, pull out one winner, and the winner is... his gamer tag is Grossman Extreme. Grossman Extreme, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset. Well done, and the honor of winning a Name the Game. So that means we're ready for another Name the Game this week. Here is the Name the Game for this week. This one may be hanging around for a while because I don't know if I'm going to do a show next week. So here it is. All right, that is Name the Game for this week. If you think you know what that is, drop me an email. Major@xbox.com is my email address. In the subject line, put Name the Game, colon, and then your guess. Body, put your, in the body of the email, please put your gamer tag. Optional, where you're from, so I can figure out where all my listeners are from. So, good luck on that one. I think you may get it from that little piece at the end there, but you never know. All right, moving forward, I think we're going to wrap up the show here. We're actually, usually I talk about gadgets and geeky stuff at this point. Looking at getting the new Dash phone. Have you seen this one over at T-Mobile? It's kind of cool. That's kind of it's a Windows mobile phone. You know, everyone asks why I have a Windows mobile phone. It's because it works so well with our email server at work, as you could probably well imagine. So that's why. The other thing is I just remodeled or removed. Remodeled means clean, in my word, as my wife would say. I just remodeled my office at home here, my home studio office. And I'm looking at getting a new LCD TV for my up here. And one of the ones I'm looking at is the Vizio 42-inch LCD GV42LH. DTV. Have you guys looked at these? These are the ones you can buy at Costco that are fairly inexpensive for like $1,500. So take a look at that. Does anybody have one of those? I know some people have purchased those, but I wanted to see if anybody actually had one because and what you thought of it and so on and so forth. Yeah, it doesn't do 1080p, but you know, neither do some of the games on the PS3, so it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so let me know if anybody has one of those Vizio, I think it's pronounced Vizio, but those Vizio TVs, you can go to VIZIOCE.com and you can check those out over there. All right, I'm going to wrap this puppy up right now. I want to first thank my friends at Centricom.net for providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, as you know. That's pretty much it. As I said earlier, I don't know if I'll be doing a show this week because it is it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving this week in North America, and Thanksgiving is a... it's kind of a big deal for a lot of people. A lot of people see it as a day to basically eat a lot, as if we Americans need to eat more. Maybe that's where it all started from. It started from Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving is a national holiday here, a bank holiday, if you will, elsewhere. But it's a big deal over here, so a lot of people will be off from work and so forth. So that's coming up this week. So that's Thursday, and you know, so I have some things, some family things I have to tend to. So I'm sure maybe by Friday, by Saturday or Sunday, I'll be itching to do a show. But we'll see. We'll see what's going on. I just have so many games I need to catch up on. So I guess we're going to wrap it up right here. As I said, you know what? Actually, you know, I usually go out with this music, but for those of you in North America, they're going to be taking trips and getting in the car and going to see family, whether you're driving your kids someplace or you're a kid and you're going with your parents someplace, then maybe I think I'll use Lindsey Buckingham to take me out of the show. All right, I will talk to you guys later, and have fun. Remember, as I always say, have fun, play fair, send feedback or complaint, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Come on, do I get bonus points for using National Lampoon's Vacation theme? Come on, that's cool. After show time. You know, I didn't talk much about the PS3 in the main show because I wanted to kind of address it here. The Wii, I haven't had a lot of, other than my stint at the Penny Arcade, I haven't had a chance to do a lot of hands-on with. I did get the chance to spend a lot of time with the PS3 on Friday. And I got to tell you, it's a very powerful machine. It is very powerful. Some of the things that I noticed as we went through the experience, you don't get a high def cable out of the box. I thought this was the high def generation and they don't give you a high def cable out of the box. That is just crazy. I noticed the consoles. So these are some of my notes. I noticed the console is very quiet. I noticed the console also gets very hot. And I don't know if you've noticed this. If you have a PS3, can you let me know? I noticed that the audio levels between the games and when you're in there, whatever their cross-media bar thing is, it's very inconsistent. It's like all over the place. Let's see. There's no headset in the box. I'm just putting my notes around here. I do like the fact the way you can just insert the disc and it pulls it in. I think that's kind of cool. Let's see. I don't want to go through that. This doesn't make any sense. Let's see. I'm still spending some more time with it. It's been an interesting, I don't particularly care for the cross media bar setup. I just don't really like it. I did notice that when we tried to install COD3 or tried to play COD3 on the PS3, it took us basically 10 minutes to update and play online. And you had to manually reboot each time. You know how, like, when there's an auto-update for an Xbox 360 title, it basically says, hey, you got to take this. You hit OK. It slides off from the left, updates, reboots the game, and you're good to go. It's significantly harder in the PS3, which, they don't really have a unified experience. I played Resistance, and it wasn't very interesting. It just didn't seem very good. Also, the thing that I didn't like from a first-person shooter perspective, and maybe this is just basically this is how they do it on that platform, is that the controller. First of all, the controller. I did not like the controller at all. It felt too light. But the controller, the fire is the upper right-hand corner. So it's basically the Xbox 360 equivalent of the right bumper. You know, the one right above the yellow key. So not the trigger, but the bumper itself. So that's where you're hitting all the time, yet they don't use the trigger for that. I'm sure that's remappable, but I didn't have a chance to go through and figure that out. Or maybe it isn't, I don't know. I don't like that at all. I didn't like that at all. The browser was a very strange experience. I know everyone's been clamoring for a browser on the Xbox 360, but the browser experience on the PS3 was, you know, every single time you boot it up, is it standard def or high def? Well, don't you know what cable you have plugged in the backside? Come on. I didn't find it very intuitive. It was really slow, really slow. And we were on a big, fast connection. So that's their marketplace looked nice. It didn't have any background downloading. And I thought that was a little strange. They have a nice little cart thing. So that was kind of set up the way it was. I found the downloads speeds to be pretty slow. But there was and I don't know. It wasn't very clear if that was a secure purchase or not now that I think about it. Huh. Anyway, so I'll be spending more time with the PS3 over the next few days. The other thing I noticed is if you have an account on the box, you can't move the account. You can only delete the account. So for those of you that have a PS3 out there, feel free to let me know if I'm wrong on any of these. The other thing that I was a little surprised by, and I brought this up to a couple people, is there is not that I can tell, there's no infrared receiver, meaning that your universal remote control, like I have the Logitech Harmony here, that will not work and turn your PS3 on. You have to use their Bluetooth remote control. Doesn't that seem rather odd? All those people that have all these great home theater systems out there won't be able to turn this thing on remotely. Boy, that's just crazy. Wow. I'm sorry, I'm just recording this, and this huge windstorm just blew in. It's going crazy outside, so I got a little bit distracted. So anyway, those are my PS3 thoughts. The games looked okay. I don't think they were worth a year wait, but that's my opinion. But I'm sure that I'll be charged with I'm sure I can see the headline someplace. You know, Major Nelson bashes PS3. I'm not bashing it. I'm just kind of bringing out some points, and I'm happy to have. I think I've always said about this that I wasn't going to talk about this unit until after it launched, and now that it's launched, the truth is known. We've got some of the truth out there. I do like the fact that you can slide a disc in. That's cool. That's very sexy. I do like the fact that it's quiet. But it's huge, and you can't stack anything on top of it. So if you guys have one of these, if you have an Xbox 360 and a PS3, please post your comments, your comparisons. I want to see what those comparisons look like. All right, I don't know if I'm going to do a show next week, so if I do, you'll know about it. I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.